Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hey everybody, this is The Scope, episode 289 coming at you.
Jared and Shane in the house.
Adam?
On assignment.
We're hoping he'll be back soon, but he's... I don't know what assignment he could have that's bigger and better than going to see Avengers Endgame with us, but so be it.
He has his priorities.
Yeah. I think it's probably he's doing research on the next Shazam film. I think he's really excited about that.
Yeah.
And he's very hardcore DC movies. Everyone knows that.
Everyone knows it about Adam.
So, yeah. Here we are.
Here we are, Jared, in the eye of the pop culture tsunami
now.
This is a very big weekend for pop culture, even though this show will be out on Monday, or as the Germans would say, Montag.
Montag. All right. We're going there, huh?
That's what they say.
Okay. How come they can't build an airport?
That's a very good question, and we'll answer that on a next episode.
Oh, will we?
Of The Scope. A next episode. A future episode of The Scope.
Can't wait for all the talking about German airports. It's like everything's coming together.
Every angle on podcasts and the internet's been covered. Why not tread into new waters, Jared?
Yeah.
Do something different.
I mean, we can't do a true crime podcast because we're not willing to do the research. So.
No. And, like, what are we going to add to the true crime?
I mean, we'd have to create new crimes just to investigate them and report on them.
Now, that would be an angle. That's a movie script. That's a TV show. Guys commit crimes to create true crime podcasts.
Huh.
Wrap your head around it.
There you go. Jared, free idea.
It's like a writer.
Is there a screenwriter? Because I'm not a screenwriter. If there's someone out there who wants to write that, go for it. Just give us credit.
And then maybe the second season, they want to learn how to write movies.
Okay.
So then they kidnap a screenwriter and then kill him and then write about that.
So, but not before learning all of his tricks.
They suck all of his knowledge right out of his brain.
And then they murder him because he's no longer needed.
Right, gone. We don't need you.
It's him. There are no women in Hollywood.
So the pop culture tsunami contains two things this weekend, Jared.
Wow, what a champion.
We've got Avengers Endgame. That is the final film.
Bitches.
In the first major cycle of the Marvel Cinematic Universe,
right.
I guess.
10 years, 22 films.
It's amazing.
There's 11 years now. I don't know. It's been 10 plus years.
Have we been covering these movies? Has the scope been around long enough?
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah. We started in 2006, so we've been around as longer
than
the MCU.
We were before the MCU.
We predate the MCU. Take that.
Did we do, like, the Hulk? Is that possible? Could we be way back to the Ang Lee Hulk?
Oh, I think we did talk about it.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure we did.
That's amazing. We should go back and check that out. Those innocent lads back then had no idea what was coming, did they?
No. We didn't know.
Yeah, it was amazing.
We got Life of Pi here. What do we got? Three hosts and a baby.
He's looking. The question is, did we mention Ang Lee?
I don't know if we
did in the write-up.
I don't see a review. I see the Incredible Hulk, but that's all I got. Oh, well.
Hey, we tried. We laughed, we cried. So Avengers Endgame number one, number two, which we have not seen yet. That comes tomorrow for us, but yesterday, if you're listening to this podcast, we're talking about the major battle between the White Walkers and the Living in episode 3 of the final season of Game of Thrones.
Yep.
That's going to be exciting too, Jared.
You got Starks imperiled in both franchises.
Yeah, there's a lot of Starks having issues. And what are you going to do?
We're just going to go through the emotional ringer. That's what we're going to do.
We're going to be roughed up.
And somehow we're going to have to go to work on Monday and deal with it just like everyone else.
Deal with the shit show of life. Yeah, Jared and I literally just got out of the Avengers Endgame Saturday morning showing here in the fine metropolitan area. So we've got a lot of feelings. We'll say this again, but just to let everyone know, we will more than likely be getting into heavy spoilers. So if you haven't seen Avengers Endgame and you don't want to know anything about it, you probably should not listen to this podcast until you see that film in the theater.
Yeah, it's impossible not to spoil it without talking about it. It just really is. Yeah.
A story that I've been spreading with Jared and other friends is Yesterday afternoon, Carrie asks me, she's talking to a friend on, I don't even know, texting. And she says, Shane, I got a question for you. And I say, what's that? She goes, my friend is going to see Avengers Endgame. What Marvel movies should she see going into it? So she has a lay of the land. And I'm like, jeez. I laughed because, you know, even not having seen Avengers Endgame, I'm like, well, you've got to see all the Avengers. You probably need to see at least part of the Wasp, Ant-Man and the Wasp. You've got to probably see Captain Marvel. You've got to see Civil War. Winter Soldier doesn't hurt. I mean, there's a lot of action in there that, why would you even get in on the?
This seems like a poor choice to jump in on.
It's teleporting to the top of the tower without making the effort to get in the elevator to ride up to the top.
Right. Right.
It's insane.
And I get it. You get to the top and you got to take the stairs down. And we all know how Hulk feels about stairs. We learned that.
Yeah. And guess what? That was in the Avengers. That was the original Avengers movie. So we're not spoiling anything.
Yeah, but that moment wasn't in there, was it?
But it happened during it, so...
Sure, spoiling it.
It was just, you know...
Boy, we can't wait to talk about this movie, can we?
So, we've got a lot of... We always talk about the Marvel Cinematic Universe on this podcast. It is one of our great loves and one of our great joys. So, I think that what we should do, Jared, take a micro break, just a slight short break.
Yeah.
And then we'll get into the review of the scope review of Avengers Endgame and maybe the state of the Marvel Cinematic Universe after Endgame.
Sure.
After Endgame. So we'll take a quick break. We'll be back with episode bloop, doop, 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 doop. Episode 289.
Grease lightning over there.
I'm on my A game today, baby. 289, 2 seconds. We'll be back. Bye-bye.
Hello, friends. Want to support the show? Consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/thescopeshow. You can pledge as little as $1 per episode, set a monthly cap, and cancel any time. Patreon helps you support creators directly, and your support means we can continue to make this show for you. Maybe we'll even do some new stuff. Who knows? Visit patreon.com/thescopeshow for more information.
Talking Avengers, and this is the patented scope review of Avengers Endgame, everybody. Jared and I will be getting into spoilers. If we had klaxons, if we had alarms to sound, we would do that right now. Weren't we going to do a spoiler alert sound effect at some point, Jared? I think that was on our list of stuff that...
Yeah.
As I say, our list, your list, because I can't do it.
Let's see what we got here.
He's looking.
What does it sound like?
There we go.
There's a visual on screen.
Is that Star Trek?
It's like a Star Trek-styled spoiler alert warning. I wanted to hear it, though. That's right. We'll go with that.
I like that. So spoilers aplenty. If you have not seen this film, do not listen to this show. That for the most of you, that's not a big problem because people don't listen anyway, Jared. They're always tuning in for Adam, and when he's not here, we can't carry it. So
just wait till he brings his game-changing expose.
I cannot.
He's on assignment.
I cannot wait. So... let's give a little preview slash intro text smackdown to the Avengers Endgame for people that don't know what we're talking about. It's a superhero film based on the Marvel Comics superhero team, the Avengers. It's produced by Marvel and Disney. It's a sequel to the Avengers and Avengers Age of Ultron. And
I like how you think there's a world that exists out there that doesn't know all this information.
I just like to do this.
All right, go ahead.
And Avengers Infinity War... And as Jared had mentioned earlier, it's the 22nd film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's directed by the Russo brothers, Anthony and Joe, written by Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely. Jared, it's got an ensemble cast, including, I mean, there's so many stars in this film, but of course you've got the The regulars, Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, Mark Ruffalo, Chris Hemsworth, Scarlett Johansson, Jeremy Renner, Don Cheadle, Paul Rudd, Brie Larson, and more. Bradley Cooper's in there. Josh Brolin reprises his Thanos role, Jared. He's there, but he's not there. It's crazy. Like I can picture Josh. I can see him, but it's...
Josh.
I can picture
your buddy, Josh.
I can picture him there, but yet it's this giant, muscular, purple guy with a weird ball chin. I don't even understand it.
Yeah. Well, it's like we got a new Hulk, too. He's the same sort of thing now.
It's insane. In the film, the surviving members of the Avengers and their allies work to reverse the damage caused by Thanos in Infinity War. The film was announced in October 2014. You remember that, Jared? As Infinity War 2.
Yeah.
It was a part 2. The Russo brothers came on board to direct in April 2015, and by May, the two guys that I mentioned earlier signed on to do the script. By July of 2016, Marvel removed the title, simply calling it Untitled Avengers Film.
Right.
Filming began in August of 2017 in Pinewood, Atlanta Studios. So if you like Pinewood in England, you also like it in Hotlanta, Jared.
That's where a lot of films are made.
It's crazy. And filming went on until January 2018, so long time. But remember, they filmed back to back. So I don't I don't know Infinity War and then Endgame, you know, where the beginning starts and stops. It's all mushed together. That must have been hard to film for those actors, don't you think?
I would think so. And there's so many bit parts in there that, you know, you probably just had like, oh, we've got Chadwick Boseman for a day. Pull him in.
Let
him do his thing.
Right. So that's the background of this film, Jared. Yeah. It's got a long history, a bit of a pedigree with all these superstars.
Yeah.
But I'm going to throw this over to you because normally when we do our on-the-road reviews, I say, Jared, tell us a little bit about this film. I've already done the actors and the actresses the directors. So give us a basic plot of this story. You don't need to go crazy because I think we'll get into it.
Give me
your best summary and then we'll dig in. Spoilers coming.
So we start the film sort of in the immediate aftermath of Infinity War, like within weeks, and we sort of we see Tony Stark. He's out in space, but he gets saved. The rest of the heroes are back on Earth, and they're still trying. They're just dealing with the loss, trying to figure out how to solve this problem.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel has shown up. We saw her show up in the end of Captain Marvel.
Yep.
Anyway, they discover, I think it was Nebula who figured it out, or had the information. They discover where Thanos is, and that he's recently used the stones, and they're going to go get them. They're going to get the stones back, and they're going to undo everything, right? So they all suit up. They all get in the Milano or the Banatar, whatever the hell's ship is they're in at this point. And they all fly into space, and they go to this planet, and they engage Thanos and pretty much kick his ass.
Yes, but there's a reason for that.
Yeah, Thanos is he's in rough shape.
He's a farmer.
Yeah, he's been farming, I don't know, weird space pineapples.
They look delicious.
Grill them up somehow.
He puts them in a pot.
But he's had a hard go of it because he had used the stones to destroy the stones.
Yeah. So
the stones are gone.
No one could undo the fine work that he did.
And before you know it, his head is gone, or at least removed from his body.
Yeah, via Thor's big
right. So you're sort of like, you jump into it and you're like thinking, oh, wait, they're really going to it right away. And all of a sudden, maybe not so much.
To pause the review for 1 second.
Yeah.
All of the footage and the stuff that they showed from this movie practically was within the first 20 minutes of the film. Correct, Jared? I mean,
And with a couple exceptions, you saw some moments that were from scenes that you probably thought you knew what they were, but they actually were something else. But yeah, most of the trailer stuff is from the first 20 minutes.
A lot of trickery. I mean, you never see Thor in any of the in any of the trailer stuff because there's a reason for that. He's super depressed about what happened and his lack of purpose.
Yeah, yeah. Changed. So what happens is essentially this is a failed attempt to right the wrong, and we flash forward 5 years.
Yep.
5 whole years have gone by, and now you see the world sort of in decay. People are trying to deal with this loss long term. Our heroes are just keeping a guard out, but don't really know what to do.
Tony's out of the game.
Tony's out of the game. He's retired. He and Pepper have presumably married and had a child.
5-year-old young lady.
Yeah.
He and Cap not getting along.
Still not getting along.
Hawkeye, he lost his entire family in the snap. So
he's off doing his Ronin.
He's now Ronin, which was a character in the comic books that, an alter ego that Hawkeye took on, a very violent
A lot of comic book knowledge is comes into play in this film for sure.
Right.
I mean, they're definitely, you know, takes off of things that have happened in the comics for sure, which is great. Nat is just hanging out at Avengers Mansion, just sort of being the hub of communication for all these other. It seems like people have sort of splintered off into little teams that are sort of keeping guard around the galaxy, just looking for danger,
right?
Whatever. I don't know. They just don't know what to do, but they're just doing what they do.
Captain Marvel is literally watching out for every other planet that's going through this.
Right. They don't have the Avengers.
Right.
See?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Exactly. And then suddenly into this mix, the Lang van has been impounded and is locked away in some storage place, and a rat opportunistically happens to walk across a control panel and trigger a button, which somehow fires up the quantum cannon. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah.
And Scott Lang is suddenly, poof, back into our world. Remember, we left him in the quantum realm at the end of Ant-Man and Wasp. And he's back, and he doesn't realize 5 years have passed.
Yep.
For him, it's been like 5 hours.
Yep.
And so... But the things happen, he really comes to grips a little bit with what's going on, and he makes his way to Avengers Mansion, where they're not expecting to see him because they thought he was gone. Anyway, long story short, he sort of holds the key to the big master plan for this film, and that is through some specific calculation and some tech, some Stark tech, they've figured out that they can travel through time, right?
Right.
They can travel through time, and they can go and they can get these Infinity Stones before Thanos does. And they can prevent this thing from happening, or they can just use them to make it right. However, I forget exactly how it works. There's so much that happens in this film; it's ridiculous. So we get we got the plan in place. We've got now we've got to have an assemble the squad moment. So they've got to go out and they've got to retrieve Hawkeye/Ronin from Japan. They've got to get Thor back from New Asgard, which is somewhere probably in
East Coast.
I don't know if that, or maybe it was in I don't know, maybe it was in Scandinavia somewhere, wherever it was.
Yeah.
Thor has let himself
probably
go.
Scandinavia.
Thor's let himself go a little bit. Thor's put on some pounds. He's hanging out with his buddies from Ragnarok, playing Fortnite.
Yep. He's the sad but also comedic element of the early part of the movie, which is very serious, very earnest.
Yeah, it's very dark and sad early on. You're just like, oof.
And there's not a lot of fighting. I mean, it takes a long time to wind up.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So anyway, the time heist is on.
As Scott Lang calls it.
The time heist. I love it.
So they break up into teams.
Yep, three teams. They figure out the stones are the opportunistic place to grab all of the stones. They've narrowed it down to three different areas, right? There's three that are on Earth in New York at the same time, which is convenient. There are two that are on other worlds, and then there's the... What was the other one? Oh, that was the Soul Stone, which Hawkeye and Black Widow go get. So, So they go back in time and they try to get these stones. And, of course, there's going to be misadventures.
Right. And most of these time hops that they take are taking you back into key moments of Marvel Cinematic Universe history.
Right.
So you get to revisit the Battle of New York and the first Avengers. You get to go back to, of all things, Thor Dark World. When Thor is going to retrieve the red stone, I don't remember what that was called. But,
the ether.
Yep. So you've got some interesting moments there where you get to see things that you never thought you would see again. You sort of see things from different perspectives. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, this was very much, this is for the fans.
Right.
I mean, it's interesting, but you could have gone about this any other way. And it's just, this is the meta, one of the many meta moments of the movie where it's just like, just to remind you, like, where we've been, what we've gone through together, you know, this world we've created.
And they seem to bring back nearly every, I mean, not every person from the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but a ton of people are represented.
The
side characters from these movies, even if they just get a shot or a line, it's amazing how
we
they
get all
that.
The Hydra people.
Yeah.
Sitwell and Rumsel, whatever his name, who turns into Crossbones. All these people that we've seen in past films that are now gone.
They are back.
They're back.
Yeah.
For a little extra moment. Just to kind of like...
It's amazing.
Just take stock of everything that's come and everything that's happened. So
the interesting thing about this film, Jared, is that Nebula is the key to everything, isn't she?
She is. So there's... This is a trait we didn't know about Nebula, but how would we know about this about Nebula? She's a bit of a, you know, techno-organic type being. So when her present future self, whatever,
her
goes to
self.
The past, she actually ends up creating kind of a neural link with her past self.
Yes.
And this allows Thanos to
discover everything
and learn what the Avengers are up to. And then the nebulas end up changing places. And we end up in a situation where, yes, they get the stones back to the present day. And yes, they are able to craft a gauntlet to try to do this thing. And apparently they do the thing. Yeah. But at the same time, Thanos is now able to come through the time portal to our present day in full force. And that sets the stage for the epic final battle,
right,
which is on the now destroyed grounds of Avengers Mansion. It's crazy.
And it's every single...
It's everyone.
Every single hero you can think of, essentially.
They're all back. I was waiting for that moment, too. Like, I'm like, they brought them all back.
Right.
Valkyrie
is there on a Pegasus. I mean, you literally have Spider-Man on a Pegasus.
It's amazing.
It's so bizarre that they can pull all this stuff off.
So you
insane.
Initially you get this close small battle between Captain America, Iron Man, and Thor against Thanos. The rest of the characters have been sort of buried in the rubble of the missile attack from Thanos' ship, and so they've got to collect themselves and organize. But eventually, you get to the point where the Avengers assemble.
Right.
Every hero who's alive still, and who's back. Assembles in this just monumental epic battle where everything is on the field, and it's just a sight to see. Holy cow.
It's like watching Secret Wars come to life, or some comic book where you've got some poor artist that's got to draw 100 different characters.
I know.
Now you see it on screen and it actually works.
It's
amazing.
Well done.
And so
throughout the course of this battle, the idea is to keep this Infinity Gauntlet 2, which is made by Tony Stark, of course. Excuse me. Away from Thanos. And so there's a series
of... It's keep away, Jared.
It's keep away. And essentially it changes hands several times. Thanos is in pursuit, and it's a whole bunch of stuff happens, and it's just... Eventually, you get to the point where somebody's going to have to take on this thing and end it all. And the guy who started it all, Tony Stark, he's the man.
Yep.
That
wasn't the initial intention, but how it had to happen.
Who was the...
Hulk was the first.
Well, Hulk did. Yeah. He brought everyone back, but he was injured in the attempt.
Oh, yeah. So, that like, somebody's going to have to take
so it was. I mean, Thanos was... ready to snap again, and then Tony Stark or Iron Man went up and did a little loop loop and stole the gems out of the gauntlet.
Little magician action,
which kind of makes sense because if it was in the original gauntlet, he might not have been able to do that. But it was his tech.
Yeah, they built an Iron Man glove.
It was an Iron Man glove with these things in it. So he was able to just get in close and steal all the gems real quick and put him in his own nanotech gauntlet and snapped his fingers, and he snaptured away Thanos and all of his minions.
Gone.
Gone, just like that. But he did pay the ultimate price.
Yes.
Which is a very, very sad moment.
Yeah, obviously you're expecting death in this film, and we know that Robert Downey Jr. says he's out as Iron Man, so they gave him a noble death.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you could ask for more than that.
Right.
I mean, there had to be some stakes. I expected more people to die, to be honest.
Well, we didn't mention the other death, the other major
correct.
Death.
So there is the moment in, as you know, to get the Soul Stone, you must a soul for a soul.
That's how Gamora died.
Yep. Gamora was tossed off there by Thanos to get it in the Infinity War. And so two people show up to get it. Somebody's going to have to make the ultimate sacrifice for that. And
that
they
was
go
a battle
back and
in
forth.
Itself.
They fight each other as they do. But in the end, it was Natalie. It was Natasha. Sorry.
She wouldn't let Hawkeye, Clint... take his sacrifice and push the world onto greater things. She did it instead.
Yeah. Which I did not expect. That was the one I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't even think about it. Like, well, I didn't know that they were going to like go on their own quest for the stones. Yeah. I mean, who knew that was coming?
Yeah.
But in the moment, I'm like, I knew once the two of them went, I knew one of them was going to have to go just because I know that that's
how it goes.
That's the riddle. That's how it's going to go. But I didn't see it coming. So... That one hurt.
No cheats there.
And it's tough because, you know, there's word that there's a Black Widow film coming. So it's like, how does that play into it? And we can speculate on that. But let's stay in the present now. So, yeah.
So we've got that. So the heroes win. But they still have to get the stones back because that's part of the thing. They can't just hold on to them.
No.
They have to get them back to where they were.
Mm-hmm.
So Captain America, who now has the power of wielding Thor's hammer.
Yeah, that was a fun moment, too.
Right. I mean, there's so much going on.
I knew it!
There's so
he's
much,
worthy. Of course he's
there's
worthy.
There's so much stuff you can't.
Oh, that's what we forgot that Thor, when he got back to Asgard in the past, he was able to summon Mjolnir, and Mjolnir's back.
That's a huge question, by the way. To me, that's the biggest question of everything. In
what's that?
Like, he has the hammer, so what about the Thor in that time period? Doesn't...
I don't know. I mean, it's,
he took the hammer from the past.
Look, if you're going to start getting into the weeds as far as time effects, we're going to be here weeks. It's a nightmare.
But that's a very specific one that I'm sure that the internet community will dissect. But
and he took
the hammer from a past timeline, and now he has it. So that Thor did not have a hammer.
That's
in
true.
The past.
And who knows if that'll ever be a thing that comes up? I mean, they did try to address some of this with you had Hulk talking about how time doesn't, like, you don't go in the past and affect your future. Like, it doesn't work that way. Kind of explained it away. And then there was a whole thing with the Ancient One when he's off trying to get the stone from her. Because now she is defending
Tilda
the Sanctum.
Swinton there, yes.
She's the Sorcerer Supreme because Doctor Strange is still a surgeon.
Yeah.
This is 5 years before he's even supposed to be doing anything. So she does a whole time explanation, too, which, whether or not it all makes sense and sort of clarifies the state of time and its effects in this universe, who knows?
I feel they play fast and loose with time travel rules, and that's fine. It's the MacGuffin device.
It's any time travel film is rife with these problems. You just have to just sort of go with whatever structure they're setting up, because it's in the end, it's a fiction.
Yep.
It's not real, so get over it.
and one last, so Captain America takes...
Although we did learn that Back to the Future is bullshit.
Yeah, which is funny. Captain America takes the stones back, but instead of arriving 10 seconds later through his time travel...
Yep.
He
stays.
He never appears.
He reunites with his love, Hayley Atwell.
Yeah, which is weird because I don't think that he went back to 1945 or whatever that was, because they show him dancing with her at the very, very end.
He probably went back not long after he went in the ice, would be my guess.
How did he do that, though? How did he have control over that?
Oh, he had as many pin particles as he wanted. He probably could have just reprogrammed it and gone where he wanted.
He's smart. Anyway.
I mean, I 100% knew this was how it was going to work out.
Right.
I just knew it.
So he comes back with a satisfied life, but he's old, and he passes his shield on to...
Yeah, Sam.
Sam.
The Falcon.
The Falcon.
Who in the comics becomes Captain America, but he's sort of like a Falcon Captain America.
Yes, so I'm sure we'll get a little bit of that as well, which will be exciting.
Interesting, because he also has a show coming up, so how does this work out? What's going to happen? Is he going to be Falcon? Is he going to be Captain America? Who knows?
Is he going to be training to be Captain America in this? That could be it.
Maybe. And I mean, he doesn't have the benefit of Super Soldier Serum, so.
And then it sets up for the next Captain America movie. That would be exciting. And the movie fades to black. So,
yeah.
And there's a million things that's
there's just so many moments and things in between, right? You can't cover it all.
Yeah. So let's talk about this movie in broad strokes first, because I think you have to. I mean, number one, I think we can agree that there has never been a movie like this and never been a series of movies like this that have been as successful as they have, right?
I mean, of course, there's never even been an attempt to be this grand of scale.
To say that they stuck the landing on it is, you know, to even dream that they could would be amazing, but they did. I mean, you know, some of the reviews on this film were that it was a little bit overstuffed and, you know, maybe it drags in some parts, but...
It's
totally whatever dragging there is in this film.
No.
It utterly earns it by merit of what it is and what they're trying to do. I mean, this could have been a 10-part TV series to do this movie.
This was two or three movies worth of things stuffed into one film.
You've just got to let it be what it is.
You've
got to let it be what it is, and you can't judge it for that, Jared.
I think that your perception of any part of it dragging is directly correlated to how involved you are in these films and these characters.
Right.
If you're someone who's just like casually involved, you might find some of the stuff to be a little bit boring at times and not really be invested. If you're someone like me who has been totally into these films and these characters for a decade now, and even more so lately as the quality of the films has improved, I mean, I was there for every moment. I just wanted to live with these characters for these 3 hours or longer. Honestly, I didn't want it to end. I didn't want to like be done with this story because I've been so in with these characters that, you know,
it's
hard to let it go, but you also got to tell the story.
Absolutely. And the other thing is that the stuff that they had in there, everything, I mean, everything ties back to the foundations that have been laid from the other films.
Yes.
I don't think that there's no particular new themes of what these people are or what they've gone through. They act and react based on the history that you've seen them go through, which is good. I'm not saying you shouldn't see new things, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like it all ties together. Their motivations make sense. Their behaviors make sense because of what has happened before. And there's a lot of moving parts, so you have to set this stuff up
right,
appropriately.
You can't spend too much time trying to discover someone's motivation because there's just no time. There's too much to get to.
Yeah, you have to be true to the story. You have to be true to the characters. And I think that this movie absolutely did that.
Yeah. I think the one character who we discovered is very central to the events of this film, who needed a little bit of character growth early on to sort of establish where she needed to be in this particular story, was Nebula.
Right.
And they did that.
Yeah, she was like one of the most interesting characters of the film.
Right.
And when you first saw her in Guardians of the Galaxy, you weren't quite sure. And then Guardians of the Galaxy 2, you get a bit of a hero's journey and a growth.
Yep.
But in this film, she's just central to the entire picture. She's central.
She needed to have a little bit more of a reform job done on her. And you got that in the early moments with her and Tony on the ship stranded.
Yeah.
You kind of got those moments, which was just great writing to be able to pull that off. Yeah. To suddenly kind of turn her into this more sympathetic character that we could all get behind.
Yeah. And that's the interesting thing about this film too, Jared, is that, that whole aspect of Nebula and Tony was probably 3 minutes of the film.
Yeah.
But in that journey that they went on, you could have made a film, a buddy film, with those two stuck in a rocket.
Sure.
You could have done. I mean, there are so many things in this film where you've got 10 minutes here, 5 minutes here. It could be an entire film.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to cut the fat. You gotta have that prime rib meat, and you just gotta get right to it. And I think that I think that they did that, even if with a running time of 3 hours. What was there is what was needed.
I don't know
if you could cut a lot of stuff out and then it makes sense.
There's definitely things you could cut, but I think you lose some of the air. I think we needed some early on. We needed some time with these characters, just because this is the last time we're going to see this group assembled. I use the word intentional.
Yeah, it was intentional.
Yeah, yeah. Let's just spend a little bit more time with them, and that's what we got.
Yeah.
So I mean, you could cut out a bunch of little moments here and there and shaved 10-15 minutes out of the film, but is it going to be better for it? Maybe for a casual viewer, but for the long-term invested fan, no, it's not.
That movie has earned the right to be a bit self-indulgent.
Yep.
And trust me, it was self-indulgent.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You had moments, and then even in the credits where they've got the autographs of the stars with their name, I mean, okay, we get it. But at the same time, I was like, yeah, I mean, this
we've earned it.
They have earned that right.
Yep.
This, Jared and I have talked about how, on a whole, the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies haven't really had a clunker. They've earned the rights because they've been consistently good. There's a couple that people could argue about, but
Incredible Hulk for sure.
Yeah, but even that one was that almost was pre. What they really knew what they were doing.
It was year one, essentially.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a different story. But everything from then,
the back half of the catalog is almost universally.
Yeah, you can't
B to A plus.
You can't complain about it.
No.
So let them take their victory lap, because
absolutely,
they've earned it. Nothing like this. Let me just emphasize this. Nothing like this has been done in movie history.
And it will probably never be.
When Marvel goes to their, they have phases, but when they go to the next ultra phase, phase two of whatever the cinematic universe is, they will probably not top this.
How do you do it?
At some point, there will be a downturn because it happens. It happened with Pixar. They couldn't lose. Even their worst movie was okay. And that changed, and it will change with this as well. I mean, it's inevitable.
Yeah. I mean, you've got Kevin Feige there as a guiding force, but you've also, let's just look at who the talent that has brought this back half of these films. I mean, it's largely the Russo brothers.
Russo brothers.
Who did the last two Captain Americas and both of these Avengers movies. I mean, those are great.
You'll never top that.
I mean, how do you, I mean, obviously they're done. They're done for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, they're out.
But let's not forget Taika Waititi, whose complete reinvention of Thor in Ragnarok allowed him to be who he was in Infinity War and now in this. You don't, if the Thor from the Dark World was the Thor carrying us through this franchise, the back half of this franchise, I don't think it's not as successful.
It's not
for
as
sure.
Yeah, it's not as fun. You know, he's sort of that the sad lost prince, and it utterly changed the trajectory of what Thor is. Now we find out that Thor is joining the Guardians of the Galaxy. That was one of the ending moments of
this
movie.
He even said as Guardians of the Galaxy, right, which was a comic name, right?
Which is great. Yeah, he's not in that one, but
still.
But yeah, it's
he can
clever.
Be in the movie version.
Right. And he's sort of like a dopey, happy dude. And you want to see what his story is, and that's purely because of Thor Ragnarok.
His story is going to be hitting some crunches.
Right.
Get those abs back.
Yes, that's the reason why you did not see him in any of the previews, because he put on a few pounds of beer and pizza fat.
I don't know if that's real fat or if that's just digital suit.
I think it's a suit, and there's digital stuff there. But yeah, I mean, we could go on this, Jared. Got every...
There were just quickly about, you talk about trailer, there were definitely some shots from the trailer that were altered from the final part. Like, there's a shot of Hawkeye on the waterfront where, in the movie, there's a big old Hulk in the background. You can see his back.
Yeah.
And he's not in the trailer shot. So there's definitely, you know, again, it's like Infinity War where you have the shot where they're all running through the jungle.
Yeah.
That shot didn't exist in the movie.
Yeah.
It's like,
And let's just take a couple seconds to talk about Thanos as a villain.
Yeah.
Right. One of the best, if not the best villains in any superhero film. Of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, for sure. Just well realized, you know, you from certain points of view, you can kind of understand what his process is. You know, he doesn't see himself as a villain. He sees himself as a savior.
Well, no, I mean, the old saying is the villain is the hero of his own story.
But it's not like a comical, you know, villain who thinks he's right.
Right.
But we all know he's wrong. I mean, there's shades of gray or gray-purple in this case. But just really well acted, and the effects, you know, even with those giant digital effects, they're not always great. I mean, Hulk was still a little goofy here and there,
sure.
but it's good enough where, you know, you see the actors come through and they elevate the effects and they elevate the material.
Can you believe we have a smart Hulk? And it was just like a casual, I just figured out, I get the best of both worlds.
Yeah, five years later,
this is how he is
now.
It's like, oh.
So,
God, we've just earned so much. Right. We can just do that and not even like have a whole big thing about it. It's just like, oh, he's one thing now.
To be able just to look past, I mean, that the movies are just so chock full of stuff that it just, we take it for granted. And even 10 years ago, I don't think we ever could have imagined a film like this. You know, we got excited that there was going to be an Avengers film where you have five heroes together.
A team up that they laid the groundwork for. Right. That's crazy.
Yeah, I think it is a startlingly impactful achievement. And
to get to that moment where all the heroes show up and it's team up upon team up upon team up.
Yeah.
My God. I mean, I was vibrating. It was like,
yeah, it was amazing.
Cannot believe I'm seeing this.
It gave me chills.
Right.
And Jared teared up a little bit and I teared up because you just.
And then they do it again with all the women, which was just like, oh,
and that was
so good.
So yeah, that was a big moment we can talk about.
I mean,
that
one was just like, that was just a statement moment. Because like, it's like, there's no reason to do that.
Right.
It's not like only the women can solve this particular
moment. Exactly.
It's just like, just to show you like, we've got a lot of women here, too.
They're taking on, I mean, to me, that was a statement about, honestly, and this may be me reading into it, but it was a statement to fandom out there,
like
the toxic fandom, saying, you know, we could have a million Marvel movies that are just headlined by women. We could have an entire Avengers of women, and they're taking on the big masculine jerk who was Thanos. And they're like, we got this.
Huh.
And I think that's a statement.
No problem.
A statement of fact, and it was awesome. And, you know, I hope that it sounds stupid, but I hope that, like, my daughter saw it and was inspired by it, but also realized that that should just be the norm.
And we didn't even get a chance to talk about Pepper Potts in a friggin' Iron Man suit.
They just throw her in
there. She has a name in the comic, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, an iron something. I don't know what.
iron,
Yeah, there's not Ironheart. That's the new. Yeah, which they could do now.
Absolutely.
They could bring out Ironheart.
Yes, and you know, there are some characters in this film that probably got a little bit of a short appearance. Like, the Guardians of the Galaxy really, you know, besides Rocket and Nebula, you know, they really were not in that film that much.
They had a few moments. I mean, you know, Star-Lord got a couple moments. Drax got a moment.
Yeah, like
Groot, I think, was probably overlooked the most.
Yeah.
But
a tiny little thing.
They got a little moment at the end though with Thor. So
and even Spider-Man was probably I would have liked to see a little bit more Spider-Man. But again, you know, you've got
you can't give everyone moment.
The thing is you have the snap, and the snap was there to give the full focus on the core Avengers. I mean, that's what it was, and
it's bring it back to basics and give them one last ride.
Yep. And we also should mention that Paul Rudd was pretty great in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Along with Nebula, Ant-Man was a key player in this film. And his coming back was important. And I wonder, Jared, do you think that the rat walking over the control panel was just coincidence? Or do you think that Scott figured out how to fire things up
I think it was coincidence.
So he didn't do it.
I don't think he had any idea.
Okay.
Like I said, it was only 5 hours. You think he wasn't even probably freaking out yet?
Yeah. Some of these questions that I have, I think the internet will dissect this and people will have answers, and Feige will be asked these questions, and the Russo brothers will be asked these questions, and they will answer them in interviews. Sometimes
it's just like, does it really matter?
Yeah,
it's just like we need to get him out of the quantum zone. How do we do it?
With the movie,
quantum realm,
with the movie this good and this popular, though, I guarantee that the Russo brothers have thought through all of this stuff.
Probably.
They've thought through the Thor hammer. They've thought through everything. So I'm curious, you know, because we saw it one time. It's 3 hours.
The Thor hammer is a big deal.
Yeah.
It's like,
that's a big deal.
Because there's not necessarily a reason to do it other than it's cool.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty cool to see Thor wielding both Stormbreaker and Mjolnir. And it's really cool to see Captain America with Mjolnir.
Picking it up.
It's like, it's not necessary. It's just really cool.
But you love to see it.
It's sort of like, some of this stuff is just like, we're just going to make the ultimate comic book movie.
Yep.
And we're just going to be really comic booky about it.
The one thing that we don't talk about anymore, which we bring this up in every review, is the fact that special effects have gone to such great lengths that we just take it for granted.
Oh, jeez.
It's,
you don't even know how many of those things are just digital composite shots or just digital actors.
It's amazing. And, you know, compared to the original Hulk film where we're like, sometimes the Hulk looked good. Right?
Right, yeah.
Sometimes he looked okay, you know? And I think if we had a tape of that conversation back then, we probably said, you know, maybe this Hulk movie should have been made in 5 years after, you know, give it some time. And now we are there, and anything is possible now. Anything is possible on film.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
So it's amazing. Wow. So
is there anything we didn't like? Good grief.
I just, as a sum of the parts, Jared, I don't, any quibbles that I have with this film, I just have to throw them out.
I agree.
I mean, that's the common thing that we talk about all the time, is the sum of the parts better than, do they overcome any weaknesses in this film?
I think you can absolutely
100%
pick apart the time travel if you really want to dig into it. But what's the fun in that? Like, it didn't bother me in the moment. So why do I care now? I don't. Yeah. I really don't.
Yeah. And
it gives an excuse to have these great moments where Tony Stark gets to have a conversation with his dad before he's even born.
Right.
Like, that's just great stuff.
It is fan service to the nth degree. But that's totally, totally okay.
Yeah, this movie's filled with fan service.
Right.
It's about fan service. This is as much a closing of the saga as it is a thank you to the fans.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Yeah. And if you are any sort of fan of this cinematic universe, any of these characters, if you've read these comic books when you were 5 years old or 10 years old or whatever, your teenage years, you owe it to yourself to see this and just bask in it, because this moment will never be duplicated again. They may do something similar, and you know, there's a lot of new characters that will be coming to the Marvel Cinematic Universe with the X-Men, with the Fantastic Four. There's a lot of stuff.
Sure.
And I truly believe, and Jared probably disagrees with me, but I truly believe that we will get another version of Tony Stark. We will get Captain America back in some way, because I just don't think that they will not have those characters in film. They will bring them back some way. But it may be years from now, but we will see them again.
Okay.
But for now, enjoy it for what it is, because, you know, the X-Men versus the Avengers film or whatever they have, it'll be great, but it will not feel like this.
No.
It just, you won't do it. It's like seeing the original Avengers for the first time, you know? Remember how excited we were?
Oh,
and it was
super excited.
And it was amazing, but it's hard to top that.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It's good to have these moments. So let's give it a score, shall we?
We didn't even discuss it. I'm just going to go with my gut here.
Okay.
The Scoop score is 4 stars.
Oh, I was going to take 2 stars off, Jared.
And we're not taking any quarters off this one. This earned the 4 stars.
It does. Absolutely.
Period. If we can give Gravity 4 stars, we can give this one.
When we talk about movies and concepts and ideas that define who we are or help define us, and let's be honest, you know, this is our wheelhouse.
Yeah.
This is what the scope is. It's 100% earned. It is what it is, and it's a perfect rating.
And it feels like how does this even exist? How did we get this? Like, we were talking about, like, I got a little pushback on my excitement leaving the theater, and I basically went on this little mini rant. Like, we had to suffer through terrible or mediocre comic book films before we got this. I mean, we had bad Batman films. We had the Blade trilogy. We had, you know, Green Lantern. We had... Yeah.
Which wasn't that long ago, by the way. I mean, Green Lantern was in the middle of the MCU.
We had
Justice League, Batman,
Spider-Man films that were not great. Like, we went through a lot of garbage in order to get to something that was good, good films. So I am not going to apologize for any of my glee over what we have.
You're absolutely right. I mean, think about the Spider-Man films, Jared. There were 5 of them that were pre-Marvel Cinematic Universe, and really only one of them was any good. And I don't even know if that one holds a test. I'm talking about the second Spider-Man 2.
I haven't had the courage to go back and watch it.
But one was, it had moments. 3 was atrocious.
Sure.
And then the 2 Andrew Garfield ones, they had great character moments, but they just never quite came together. You know what I mean? Like, they were there, but they just didn't do it.
Yeah.
So,
and somehow we've got the magic formula. Yeah. Let's hope it never ends.
And if you go back and you watch the Batman movies, Jared, I mean, they are, you know, the Burton Batman was good at the time, but...
Sure. Does it hold up?
It does not hold. They just didn't have the effects. It just didn't have it. You know, it was a Tim Burton movie, which I give it plenty of credit and I would give it a thumbs up, but it's just not the same. These movies will stand the test of time. I think they will be definitive superhero movies.
So the question now is, where does it go from here?
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do.
I mean, it's a little telling that they haven't specifically announced when films are coming out.
We have a plan, though. Let's not kid ourselves. They know exactly what they're going to do.
And I'm sure they have the same questions, like, how can we do this again? Are they gonna build to another big story like this? Is it going to take another 10 years? That's pretty ambitious if they do, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's what their plan is. Yeah.
Well, I think this is the thing, Jared. They have proven, they being the Paul Feige and the whole this whole
Paul Feige, Kevin
Paul,
Feige.
Kevin Feige, Paul Feige.
You're thinking Paul Feig.
Paul Feig. They have a master plan, and that they are cool with letting things sort of breathe and decompress. Yeah. So it's not like they're just going
to
jump into the new Avengers, right? I mean, they will build up to this stuff. They will have these teams. They will build some of these characters that will be the new faces of the Avengers. You know, you'll give we're talking about like TV, like Disney Plus, for instance.
We've got a bunch of shows announced.
That will tell the story of Falcon. That will tell the story of Bucky, and probably the training and what it takes to become the new Captain America. Like, this,
we didn't even talk about that,
Jared. Everything is, and then you've got Scarlet Witch, who I'd never even really liked Scarlet Witch, but she was the most interesting character in this film. That she has been in any of the other films.
Oh, she's badass too. Yeah,
like they are showing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, which is weird that her show's going to be in the '50s. Isn't that what I heard? WandaVision is going to be.
I thought they said it was going to be a '50s vibe, but I don't know if it's in the '50s. But and they're talking about a Hawkeye show. So I mean, you've got all these characters that had some major gravitas happening to them, and they're going to be in TV.
Yeah, how's that going to play out?
I mean, Jared,
and now we get to see really if because. So we've had Marvel TV shows that have been quote unquote connected to the MCU, yeah. but they've never really been connected to the MCU.
Like, oh, there's a battle over there that right. took place.
They were never under the umbrella of Marvel Studios production. So, but these new shows on Disney yeah. Plus definitely are. So now it becomes a question of how does the story now open up and broaden?
Right.
Now that you've got Disney Plus shows sort of filling in the gaps, or does it? I don't know. I don't know. Are they gonna be connected, but not necessarily temporally connected? Yeah. Like, we don't know. We just don't know what's coming.
I think that that's a big challenge for them. But I think that, you know, we've talked about this before about Marvel TV shows.
Yeah,
to me, they are most successful when they feel like they are tied into the bigger picture. Yeah. Like when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. tied directly into that Hydra stuff. That was awesome.
Yeah, the show didn't take off until that.
It
happened.
Was the highlight of the show, even when some of the, you know, what they've sort of cheated now and they've sort of pushed them out of the world. You know, they're off in outer space and doing other stuff that didn't really tie in.
Right.
And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. earned that, but it still was at its best when you felt like they were fighting the same fight as the other Avengers.
Yeah.
And so now with this Disney Plus stuff, because I don't think you're going to see another MCU television show anywhere else but Disney, maybe ABC. I mean, you've got Freeform and stuff like that, but I don't watch any of those shows. And the Hulu Runaways, maybe they tie that in. I don't know for sure. I heard that they were going
connected,
to.
Connected, but it's still going to be kind of on its own.
So this is their
Hulu is interesting because there's a potential that Disney takes over 100% ownership of that. Now they've got two streaming channels. Like, yeah. So how do they work that out? But yeah, I think once Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. runs its course, that's the end of MCU shows on broadcast channels.
You don't need to make a 22 episode series anymore. You can make an 8 episode series. Yeah. You could do a show where, you know, you get Paul Rudd to do 4 episodes of an Ant-Man show. I'm just saying they have that ability now. And that's what's going to, I think that's the next big step. Like, how do you advance some of these smaller stories on TV, and then how do you tie it into these movies? Then how do you bring these other, you've got all these other properties. So there's a lot, there's so much that they can do with X-Men and Fantastic Four. I mean, there is, you know, they have those characters, there's at least as many of those characters that we've seen in these, more probably. I mean, there's so many mutants. And I can't wait to see what they do. And now you've got time travel.
You've got,
trust me, Jared, there will be other dimensions. There will be other Earths that they will bring in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
That's
how, Maybe that's how mutants show up. Who knows?
Yeah.
I know in the immediate future, we've definitely got another Black Panther. We already know we have a Spider-Man coming this summer. So in a couple months, we'll have another Spider-Man.
And you say that
Chances are there's going to be a third one after that, I would guess.
And you say that Spider-Man is an epilogue?
Kevin Feige has said this is the epilogue to Phase 3. So I'm assuming that means that they'll at least talk about things from Peter Parker's perspective and then he went through.
And then he goes on a school trip to Europe, because that's...
Yeah, I don't have any idea what the plot is, but I just think that...
It takes place in London, the movie, so...
Well, in several places, but I just think that there's going to be some connection to the events of Endgame from Peter Parker.
And they're always good at that. That's the one thing, like I was talking about earlier. They are good at letting these things naturally flow into each other without worrying about alienating people, because they might have information that other people that haven't seen all the movies would understand, and that's okay.
Yeah,
it's earned. I mean, the modus operandi with these films. That's how it is. They are tied together. We're not always going to spend a lot of time explaining to you what happened before or why this character is here. It's like reading an issue of a comic book.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you got to read the past 20 to understand what's going on, and I'm fine with it.
Yeah, sure. And so we've got another Black Panther coming. I think that's been announced officially. We just don't know when.
Black Widow.
Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is confirmed.
We know that's
confirmed. We're back on track. Black Widow, that's a wild card, because we just, you know, Black Widow's dead now.
Yes.
So how does this one work out? We'll find out. Chances are this is going to be another Captain Marvel. I mean, you don't make $1 billion.
I think they announced that they are definitely another one.
I just figured that that's going to be the case. And
Thor, Thor 4 potentially has been rumored. They have to do another Thor.
Sure. There's word that Doctor Strange is coming.
Yeah. Doctor Strange underutilized in this film too, but...
You know, it's hard.
Right.
There's a lot of characters, and when you've been snapped away, you can't just come in and get all the moments. So
yeah.
So those are the things that we know are definitely coming, and obviously more to come. So I don't know. We'll see. I don't know if they're going to. I just don't know what model they're going to follow.
Right.
Are they going to immediately start laying the bricks for the next big story arc, or is it going to be a little bit more individual tales that may connect up later. We'll find out.
And I will tell you, the one thing that I always liked was when they would introduce new characters. So I don't want them, me personally, you know, of the, if they've got five in the next phase, mm-hmm. I want to see at least one of those movies have somebody different in it.
Yeah.
Like get a headline, you know, and I personally think, I don't care what they say, I think that they bring either mutants or Fantastic Four into this world sooner than you think.
I think Fantastic
than what they say.
Fantastic Four would make the most sense just because we've got a lot of cosmic stuff already. And with Captain Marvel, I think you could easily somehow work a Fantastic Four into that. Even though we've already had some recent false starts with that. I don't think it's too soon to try again.
I don't think so. I think they do it right.
Especially since the rumor is that, you know, maybe who's the big
Galactus
might be the next big threat that this MCU faces. So I think you got to start laying that groundwork.
Or Secret Invasion. That's the one that excites me a lot. But
yeah.
And the thing
is, we have Skrulls, but they sort of pivoted on what the Skrulls are up to. Yeah. You know, we thought maybe we'd get a glimpse of that in.
That's not what they're saying. Not all Skrulls are that way.
I know. That's a small pocket. I get it.
And the other thing is that you can easily start laying the groundwork for mutants too. I mean, you don't have to have them in for 5 to 10 years, but you could still start.
That's the next big untapped market.
And I'm excited about that.
Thread there is to do X-Men and all of the related X-Men properties properly.
Right.
Like integrated into the MCU and just portrayed in a way that fits with everything they've done with the MCU. So sorry, Fox, you had a good run. Well, good is relative.
Again,
you had some
there's
moments.
Probably like 1.5 good movies. Two totally good movies. So there you go.
And we still have to watch one. Mm-hmm. Dark Phoenix comes out in June.
Maybe we'll wear our funeral clothes when we go.
Oh boy.
Whew, I'm exhausted, Jared.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. It was an honor to see every Marvel movie with you in the theater.
Let's keep the tradition alive.
We will keep it going. And let's keep the scope tradition alive by taking a quick break, and we'll be back with Coming Soon right after this.
We now return to the scope, just for the hell of it.
Under the scope.
Indeed, we are back with Under the Scope, and it is your favorite segment that Adam usually does when he's not here. It's Coming Soon. All right, here we go. Jared's on it. If you were with us in our last episode, you remember what we did. So it's music, it's pop culture, it's coming soon, and Jared and I are going to have a good time with it. Is that correct, Jared?
I let the music speak for
That's
me.
That's right.
Whenever you're ready.
All right. Let's start off with music. May 3rd, Jared, we've got a new album by Bad Religion called Age of Unreason.
Wow.
And L7 with Scatter the Rats.
I don't know if I like this manual ducking thing.
We'll work it out here. Movies also on May 3rd, Jared. We've got The Intruder. It's a home invasion story. We've got Long Shot starring Charlize Theron.
Oh, yeah.
And Seth Rogen as an unlikely couple.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Is this a presidential campaign or some sort of campaign for office?
Yeah, and she falls in love with the lovable dope from high school. And we've got one more movie that's Ugly Dolls. Yes, Ugly Dolls.
Sorry, not for me.
For home release on April 30th, we've got Miss Bala, Arctic, and a must-buy for Jared, the Pink Panther cartoon collection.
I don't know why you're so thrilled with this.
And finally, video games for the week of April 29th. We've got Fade to Silence on Xbox and PS4. And another game coming out that Jared loves, it's Final Fantasy XII, The Zodiac Age. And that's coming soon for you, starting the week of April 29th. But guess what, Jared? One little tidbit we got to take care of. Hit it or miss it.
Hit it or miss it. Hit of the week. Hit it or miss it. Miss of the week. Look out!
It's a perfect soundscape.
I love it. Jared, this time around, we're doing another dual hit. It's the eagerly anticipated and long-awaited Vampire Weekend release, Father of the Bride. I think this album has been, you know, it's been on people's radars for like 3 years. There's been a bunch of reasons why it hasn't come out. You know, and I don't know if it's a double album, but I think there's a lot of music on this. They've released three or four tracks from it, and everything I've heard is exciting.
Wow, really?
That I think they've got a hit on their hands, and luckily we're also calling it a hit here on the scene. There we go.
Yeah.
So that's Vampire Weekend's Father of the Bride. Check it out, May 3rd.
Under the scope.
Whew. Jared, we have covered a lot of nerdy culture today, sir.
It's been a long day already.
It has been.
Whew. Here we are at the end of the show. It's our own end game.
It is
here on the scope.
Two shows in a row, Jared. This
I know.
Is amazing for
I know.
Us.
We'll see. Well, maybe we'll hit the cycle next week. We'll get a third one out. Who knows?
We'll have to see.
We'll see. Hey, did you see Endgame? Did you like Endgame? Do you have comments about Endgame? Do you want to talk about the timey-wimey stuff? Then write in at the comments of the scopeshow.com or call the voicemail line 612-21-SCOPE. That is 612-217-2673. Or you can reach us at Facebook and on Twitter. Those links are on our website, thescopeshow.com. Hey!
Wow.
I'm very excited. Amped up. Got a game night to go to. Woo! Starting to revive the YouTube channel a little bit.
Yes, you are.
Just posting these episodes in audio only on the web with a little, you know, waveform accompaniment just so it doesn't get boring. But I think we might look at doing some more stuff on the YouTubes. So check us out, this YouTube channel. I think it's the scope, yeah. youtube.com/thescopeshow, or, you know, the link's on our website, scopeshow.com.
Jared and I have been loving YouTube lately. We've been watching a lot of shows, a lot of stuff. And it's nice to have a presence back on there. So thank you for doing that.
Sure. It's just getting our toes back in there. But I'm trying to look at ways to, like, economically get the live faces back on there, maybe. And you've had some thoughts about, like, doing some other sort of programming, a little more scripted variety. Don't know what that is yet. Just thinking about it. But hey, if you're interested in supporting our efforts in that regard, head over to patreon.com/thescopeshow. You can be a patron. For merely a dollar an episode.
Yeah. We don't ask a lot.
No. Helps pay for our bandwidth. Helps keep us filled with Chips Ahoy.
Keeps us afloat. I wish I would kill for Chips Ahoy right now.
Not me. I don't do sweets anymore. Oh, but, you know.
No sweets ever?
Occasionally.
Okay.
It depends on where my calorie budget is for the day.
Good.
That's
for
a story for another time. I'm
yeah.
sure we're going to do a catch 'em up episode where we talk about all the crazy things that have happened to us in the last 6 months.
Right. That's kept us from doing this program. Program.
Yeah. So there you go. There you go, Shane. That's what. Oh, if you want to support the show other ways, you can go to Amazon.com and buy stuff. Go to thescopeshow.com/Amazon, click that affiliate link. A little bit of your purchase goes into our pocket, doesn't cost you any more. It's just the right thing to do. Shopping at Amazon, you know you do it. They're going to give you that one-day shopping, that one-day shipping. They're working on it, Shane. They're working their employees to the bone, finding ways to fire them. But does it matter if you're getting one-day shipping? What's a few human lives between
right.
you and me?
Not great for the environment either.
Boy.
Jared, I'm looking at this box for a 5-inch on-camera monitor that you got from a company called Feel World.
Yeah, it's a Chinese company.
And they've got some great text on here.
Hmm.
Big production value for camera setups.
Yep.
And then we've got another thing that says, newest improved user experience design.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's called Google Translate. You put in your Mandarin and out comes perfect English.
Every time. Okay, sorry. That was a little random, but I just saw that.
That's all I got. That's all I got, Shane.
Well, fantastic job, Jared.
I bought that at Amazon.com.
Where since everybody else can do the same.
They can do the same. I can't benefit myself, though. That's the one thing.
It's
the thing.
It's
everyone else has to do it for me.
And I
get
try. I try.
You do.
I try.
You do a good job.
Well, wow, Jared. I'm winded. We've watched a lot of movie. We've talked a lot about the movie we watched.
Yeah.
And I think we just need to take a few moments to decompress.
But wait, we're going to go to the 3:15 showing. We'll see it again.
We're going
Let's
back
go.
And doing it again.
Yeah.
Woo.
No.
I'd almost consider it. Wow.
That's a lot.
Jared.
In one day. I don't think I could do it twice in one day. But I do want to see it again.
Me too. Jared, let's wrap it up. So for Jared, I am Shane. And for Adam out there in the ether, it's been fun.
Oh no, watch out for the raccoon.
Bye for now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying...
Buenos aires!
Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.